Welcome to the MGA MedioCast, episode number 26. The date is November 3rd, 2011, 2011, and according to the MGAtour.com website, we are only 7 days, 14 hours, and 48 minutes away from the 2011 World Championships in Las Vegas. My name is Willie Dills, and I'm joined remotely via iPhone by, of course, our chapter leader, our president, El Presidente, John Lucky Kick Morley. What's up, John? How you doing?
Hey, man. I am doing great, and pumped to talk some golf here. I haven't played since October 1st, our last day.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it sucks.
No golf at all?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. Yeah. Are you, like, now do you feel like this could hurt your chances in Vegas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what it's going to feel like the next time I swing a club. It's been so long.
Speaking of swinging a club, I swung a club today without golfing.
Interesting.
We just talked about this for a second, but I went on a casting call for a Chevron commercial, which was so bizarre.
Chevron.
Yeah, it was a Chevron commercial that they were looking for golfers in their late 20s to early 30s, and they a friend of mine kind of turned me on to it. Was like, you should go down there, and I went to see if John was actually in town to see if you wanted to go too. But where are you right now, by the way?
Not sure. Southern California somewhere. In a hotel.
All right. So, and then you were out of town, so I just went down there by myself. And it was so, like, I don't know. I got to say, I have a little bit more respect for the craft of acting after going to this this audition, because it's super awkward. It's
right.
Really awkward. Like, there's just a bunch of dudes sitting in a room waiting to go in and get judged by two ladies. And then I walk in, they have me, like, face one way, face another way, say my name, swing a golf club a couple times, and then that's it.
Did they make you take your top off?
Well, they made me take my bottom off. They want to see what I was swinging. So. I did not feel objectified. I'll say that.
Yeah. That's good.
I was worried, though. I was worried that I was going to be a piece of meat. And,
they wanted to see your Big Bertha, huh?
Exactly. They treated me, I told them, hey, I always slice to the left, you know? But they treated me with tender care, and it was okay. It was
not so
bad.
Gentle on the casting couch. That's good.
Exactly. But I mean, it'd be cool if I actually get this thing. I can't see how that's going to happen. I mean, a lot of the guys who were there were like actual actors, and I'm just, you know, some dude walking in off the street, that'd be kind of funny.
If you'd known you were supposed to show up as an actor, you could have worn your douchebag invitational outfit.
That's true. If I had worn all white, and I would have been like, this is what I wear when I golf. This is a golfer's outfit. This is clearly golfer attire. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the MedioCast, so let's go ahead and just jump right in. We got the World Championships coming up, and we're going to talk a lot about that. We're also going to later on talk about tips for the MGAWCs. We're going to talk about that other golf association. We're going to spotlight one lucky Medio. And, of course, we're going to answer some questions, golf-related questions, and try to help out those golfers out there in the world. But let's go ahead and just start off with MGA news. There's a lot to get to here as well.
Meagles. Logies. The Meltdowns. Toys. And Gurney.
First up in the news, Anti-Hero Skateboards gets it. So this was really cool, John. I don't know exactly how this all came about. Maybe you can shed some light on this. But I'll just read the story real quick. This is straight off of MGAtour.com. The MGA prides itself on popping up in places where no one would expect to find the fine game of golf. Most recently, the MGA made its presence felt on a new line of skateboard decks by Anti-Hero. The theme of the board seems to be inspired by some obscure golf movie, and we're proud to be part of it all. We can check this off the list of childhood dreams now. Thanks, Mike. So which Mike are you talking about here?
I'm afraid I can't name names because I
just
named
Mike.
Names.
Mike is all we need to know.
Right. I named names, and I named the obscure golf movie in the initial article, and I was quickly contacted by some lawyers and alerting me to the fact that what golf movie I thought it might have been modeled after, not at all. I mean,
really?
Yeah, if you look at the boards, it's clear that it's
not. So wait,
not,
was it modeled after Ladybugs or something? What the hell?
It's clear that it's not infringing on the rights of that movie at all. It's a different,
okay,
it's completely original.
Sure, and, yeah, absolutely.
And the designer wished not to be named. But hey,
okay,
he's Mike, and he's great, and he's helped us out with some other designing aspects in the MGA, like the San Francisco MGA logo, the new one.
Okay.
Which is awesome. And
yeah, I love that logo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it looks, well, we're getting into just talking to each other here, but that hat's awesome, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. The hat is amazing. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but people who come out to Vegas, get ready. Get ready to have your minds blown and shell out some bucks. Bring some cash in your wallet. You're going to want to spend this on these. These are amazing.
Exactly. The SFMGA logo on a hat is where it's at. So anyway, the designer of that logo works with Anti-Hero Skateboards and, you know, just wanted to show the MGA a little love, so worked us onto one of the skateboards, which is awesome because I'm absolutely certain when I was skateboarding in my teens that I rode an Anti-Hero deck. So to have our logo on one of their decks is really, really, really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I'll just tell everybody if you want to pick one of those up. If you go over to mgatour.com, you can find the link in the story, and that's in the global news section. Or you could go right to www.warehouseskateboards.com, and you can actually find them there as well.
Yeah.
They're pretty friggin' cool, so I recommend go pick one up. I mean, who knows how long these are going to be around for, so get a little piece of history right there.
Who knows when the lawyers are finally going to get anti-hero about this board.
Let's also talk about some new sponsors. Since we're talking about the MGA being on Anti-Hero decks, let's talk about some of the people who are sponsoring us for this World Championships. Now, in the past, we've had Refuse to Lose, which has been a great sponsor for the last couple years. But this year, unfortunately, they couldn't sponsor things. They've got other things going on, MMA type things, which is pretty cool. So I still recommend everybody go check out Refuse to Lose stuff and pick it up. It's all really high quality stuff, and I still think that the first shirt that they made for us is my favorite golf shirt ever.
It is a comfortable shirt, definitely.
Yeah,
lot,
I mean, it's the bamboo.
Still wearing it.
Yeah, the bamboo. I mean, I've been wearing it for now. This will be 3 years, and I guess it's actually 2 years.
Right.
But I've washed it a ton of times, and it's still the like most comfortable shirt I own.
Yeah.
But this year we've actually got. You never wash it. You don't want to wash the luck out, right?
Yeah.
This year we've got Launch Promo is going to be helping us out with a whole bunch of stuff. And Launch Promo is actually run by a Medio. And they're based in Baltimore. And it's Garland Griswold, who is the chapter leader in Baltimore, who I actually got to play golf with when I was there. He's a really cool guy. And he does really great embroidery work over there. He's been working on a lot of stuff, and he actually, I was able to get a limited edition MGAWC's golf hat when I was there, which I've now given to John so he could check it out. And I mean, just like as a demo version, it was awesome. Like I was like, oh yes, this is going to be great. So
I think
really looking forward to the stuff that we're going to have this year, from Launch Promo.
Yeah. I feel like we're hitting our stride here with, the logos and the MGA merch where when it first started out, I was buying the cheapest shirts I could find and going to my little Turkish woman who was down near Fisherman's Wharf, and she, $10 a pop, she would put MGA on there with the swinging guy and the MGA letters next to it. And I know some of the OGs out there have that old stuff, and that's awesome because it's now a collectible, but I'm really happy with the quality coming out of Launch Promo. And you guys definitely, I know Aaron from up in Seattle is having them make some stuff for him. And please, by all means, if you're having anything made, any embroidery, screen printing, promo stuff, check out launchpromo.com and talk to Garland, because they're showing the NGA some love, and we should return that favor.
Yeah, and he actually says that their prices are competitive, and if you're an MGA member, they will definitely consider discounted rates. So go ahead and just give them a call, especially if you're in the MGA, and let them know that you're interested in getting some stuff made, and see if you can work something out. He will be down there, so you'll actually get a chance to meet Garland as well, which is really cool. They do embroidery, screen printing, promotional items, all kind of different stuff. So really, really cool company, a really small company that's kind of like doing their own thing, and really glad to have them on board as a sponsor. Let's talk about some of the other sponsors, too. John, you've actually lined up a few different ones that are really cool here. So tell me about Asher Gloves.
Yeah, and I can barely say that I lined these up. These are all...
Okay.
these are awesome MGAers lining things up for me, where actually Salt Lake City, they seem to have a sponsor for every one of their tournaments, which is really cool. And the other chapters should try and do it if they've got the time. There's plenty of bars and local companies that are willing to sponsor tournaments and help out those chapter leaders. But Asher Gloves is one of them, and they sponsored one of Salt Lake City's tournaments. And then Pat Carter, the chapter leader out there, you know, asked if I wanted to see if they'd sponsor the World Championships. And I got to say, I'm as excited as I am to have Asher Gloves on board, because their gloves are really cool and alternative to the normal golf glove. I think James Roundy, the founder, is almost more excited to have found us, because we are exactly who he's looking for. All these MGAers out here, they are the people that Asher is trying to get to. So you guys are going to
see. Yeah, this is their market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is to help break the ice with Asher Gloves, the top finisher from every chapter in the World Championship. So if you're the only one going from your chapter, you're going to love this, because you'll be the top finisher, and the top finisher from each chapter gets a glove.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're either James, the founder, is going to be there, or we'll have just a giant stock of gloves so everyone can get one that fits them right. And then also for the low IQ, since we've got 17 people and we need to alert the winners somehow that they have made it through to the next day, we're going to give the qualifiers from the low IQ, so the top 10 finishers, will get an Asher glove that they can use the next day in the World Championship.
That's really cool, because last year they got a crappy rose. That, you know, I'm sure what the rose represented meant a lot to them, but you know, not as cool as a golf glove.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope the rose meant something, too, because we way overpaid for those. So
yeah, we paid $45 a rose, for everybody who's wondering.
I think we got to take them.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, the guy was very convincing, though. You know, I mean, he was like, these are really great roses.
Eyes.
Come on. Yeah, he was looking us in the eyes. Exactly.
Asher's better. The gloves, ashergolf.com. Check it out. You'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. Really, really cool stuff. Perfect for the MGA crowd.
Yeah.
And then we also have North Coast Brewing as well. So tell us a little bit about them, John.
Yeah, once again, I chased this one a little bit. But
okay.
It happened through Dan Bully Bullwinkle, two-time winner.
Oh,
on the
a great media.
Yeah,
great a major media. Champion. Yeah.
Major champion now. And
yep.
Two-time winner this year. And champion bartender, too. I mean,
I'm surprised we're still talking about Bully, considering he lost his title as best player to have never won a major. I kind of felt like now we have no reason to really talk about him anymore.
Yeah.
But I guess we still do. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's because he won twice this year. If he'd only won that one major, he'd be flash in the pan. Of course, we'd never talk about him again.
Yeah, we could talk about how much of a flash in the pan he is.
Exactly.
But then he won again. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he hooked us up with Josh from North Coast Brewing, who is going to provide beer at the meet and greet, which is a key ingredient to any MGA event. So we're getting quality beer. Trust me, guys, if this hadn't come through, you would be drinking PBR and Busch in bottles. So now you get to drink Scrimshaw Pilsner Red Sea Seal Ale and Blue Star Wheat from North Coast Brewing. And as Bully says, plenty of it. So
nice. All right. Well, I'm sure that we'll have thirsty medias. Okay. Well, yeah. He understands how much the MGA members drink. So if he says plenty of it, I hope he means it.
And exactly. That's how we decided how much. I said, Bully, you know how much they drink. You decide how much. So.
Yeah. And he's a bartender, so he's, you know, he's a professional when it comes to measuring out amounts of alcohol. So we're gonna trust that he brings enough for everybody, and looking forward to that. And then finally, we also have another new sponsor helping us out for the WCs, which are Button Kings. And this was actually really cool, too. This was kind of a last-minute idea here that kind of came to fruition pretty quickly, but somebody that we had used previously, so it kind of worked out. Tell us about the Button Kings.
Like you were saying, when you and I had that meeting to go over the whole MGA WC experience, and we sort of got to the stage where it's like, all right, now everyone's in the hotel with 80 people they don't know, so how are they going to find each other? And aside from deciding that Jack's Irish Pub is sort of the meeting point, we were like, all right, we should get buttons for everyone. So, you know, a quick Facebook post later and a couple suggestions, and all of a sudden we had a button sponsor from Chris Janssen from the SFMGA. His buddy works at Button Kings, and they actually, I mean, the prices are killer already. It's like we could have bought the things, but I'm like, yeah, what the hell? Let's see if they want to sponsor it. And they did. And now we have MGA WC buttons that everyone's going to have, and you wear that through the hotel, and you'll be able to spot those other medios from a mile away.
Yeah, so that's really cool, too, because that is one of the things. I mean, you're walking around, you can kind of guess who the medios are.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. I mean, is that a medio or is that just another drunk guy?
Medio,
drunk guy. Who knows, you know? And now they'll all be wearing buttons, so it'll be nice so that everybody can kind of get to know each other. And that's really cool because we want everybody to know everybody else by the time they leave Vegas.
Yeah.
You
don't want that awkward stage where, like, when you're at the douchebag invitational and you walk up to a guy, like, clearly you're here to play in the douchebag, and he's not, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. You don't want that in the hotel. You're obviously a member of the Mediocre Golf Association, and the guy's not and takes it the wrong way. That'd be bad.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of really great stuff, and again, adding to the whole MGA WC experience, which is getting a lot of cool swag to take home with you that has MGA logos on it, and it sounds like we're going to have some really great stuff this year.
Yep.
So speaking of that, let's go get right into it, and let's talk about our upcoming tournaments. The Mediocre Golf Association World Championships of 2011 will be held in Las Vegas, and of course it's a mere 7 days away right now.
Amazing.
Friday the 11th and Saturday the 12th, we'll be playing golf. And, of course, Saturday the 12th is the tournament proper, but Friday the 11th is going to be not only the low IQ, but also the Medio Cup as well, which is going to be a hotly contested event. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody involved, and even the people who aren't involved, because they get to root for their own chapter and stuff. So a lot of really cool stuff going on. And we'll talk a little bit about all of that, but let's start with the fact that the Medio Cup teams have now been revealed. We finally got the global money list, and we've got the chapter money list, so we're able to actually announce the teams. And for those of you who don't know, the way that the Medio Cup works is it's a Ryder Cup style competition. There's going to be 8 singles matches as well as 2 pairs matches where they're going to be playing 4-ball. And so there's a total of 10 points up for grabs. First team to 5.5 points will win. And it's based off of the money list leader from last year as the captain, and then the top 10 from each from the San Francisco as well as the global for this year. So I'm going to be the captain for the San Francisco team, which is a great honor and something I'm really glad I'm able to do. It's going to be really cool. And we don't have the number one from the world. So we went to the next best. And kind of, you know, he's kind of always been known as the next best, really.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm talking about Zach McInally, or Zach McInally, however you like to say it, from the Seattle chapter. So he's going to be leading that team, which I guess I couldn't really ask for a better competitor, to be quite honest. I mean, we know about his sweep kick.
Yeah.
We know about his long drive. I'm sure he's going to bring it, and he's going to put his team together well, and I'm looking forward to a really healthy competition.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it would have been great if Peach had been able to do it, but I don't think anyone is going to care more than Zach about that team. I'm looking at the comments already of the people pleading for that captain's pick, and he's responding already in the
nice.
Comment thread on that story, and you can tell that he's giving it a lot of thought.
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, this is, you know, you got to pick from the guys who didn't get into the top 10 for whatever reason, and he's even got a harder job than I do because he's got a lot of guys to pick from, and a lot of guys he might not know the ins and outs of their golf game because they come from other chapters, you know?
Yeah.
So he's really got a lot to think about coming into this. I've actually made a decision, but I'm not going to reveal it now. I'm going to save it for Vegas. I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, I mean, also, I don't want to, you know, back myself into a corner here because I'll just say this, the media that I'm considering is very injury prone. So it's very possible that, you know, between now and then we may think that he will never walk again. It could happen.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's true.
So I just want to save myself and everybody a lot of pain and suffering and wait until Vegas. Exactly. I do have a couple people in there that I think could also be fantastic additions, but I'm going to wait until we actually get to Vegas, and I'm going to announce it then. But let's talk a little bit about the teams we've got here. So we're actually going to decide the matchups the day before the event, and it's gonna be kind of a give and take on how we do this whole thing because, you know, when I pick a guy, I'm not going to know who McKinley picked. I'm just going to pick an order, and he's going to pick an order, and then we'll see what happens. But it's going to be interesting.
Right.
So the San Francisco team is going to be made up of myself, Todd Benoit, Benoit, John Lucky Kick Morley,
yes.
El Presidente, Bobby Gioso, Max Maxident Lanier, Stacy Short Backswing Ward, King Kent Jameson, Mike Incredibly Long Backswing Clemens,
exactly.
Big Dave Bastards Champion Armstrong, John the World Champion James, and Sean Little Easy Supple, and then my captain's pick. So a lot of talent coming out of the San Francisco team.
It really is.
It's going to be a tough team to take down for sure, but I'm looking at this other team and I'm thinking they got some players here, so let's go through them real quick. So they've got Zach McKinley, the team captain.
Here, let me run through these guys.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
I have some insight here. So, of course, as you said, Zach McKinley, the captain, going to hard-fought match for sure. Steve Sherman.
Showerman.
Yeah. Three wins in a row this year for that man.
Somehow he found a way to have a name with an E, a U, and an E all in a row. That's weird. How does that happen?
I don't know. But three wins in a row, how does that happen?
Yeah, that's never been done before.
I pity the fool that has to play that guy in match play.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough battle.
Tyler Newman, solid, solid player. I think you guys tied last year for, what, third in
for
the world?
For third, yeah. He tied me for third, that's right. Yeah, he had a great round in Vegas, and I think that was his first trip out there, too, so that was the first time he'd played the course.
Yeah, solid. Tom Smith, always a solid player. Flies under the radar a little bit, but you know he's there.
Well, with a name like Tom Smith, it's easy to fly under the radar.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
but not with a name like Jerry Newell the Tool or Jerry
Newell
the Tool.
Newell.
I don't remember which way they say it, but this guy.
Either way, it's a winner.
I've been warned he is a threat, a serious threat to even possibly win the whole thing. So watch out for him. Strong player out of Salt Lake. Brochu, you can't get rid of the guy. Always in the mix.
No. Yeah.
Happy.
MGA
happy
legend.
To make it. MGA legend, exactly. Brian Riley out of Chicago. Wasn't sure if he was going to make it, but he is. This is another strong player. You know what? As I go through these, I'm getting a little worried. These are strong players. Potier, the guy, he's another MGA legend. How did all these legends come out of Quebec?
I don't know. All these legends out of Quebec. It's a small chapter. How did this happen?
Trust me. By the end of the trip, everyone, you will know Steve Potier.
Yes, you will.
Charlie Ward. You know what?
Charlie Ward.
You play in enough chapters, you make the world team. These guys played in more chapters than Juan Camacho.
That's right. Or Todd Benoit. Yeah, this guy plays everywhere.
Yeah. Mike Mayo. Thunderfist. Thunderfist himself. This guy, he'll be entertaining us after the meet and greet. Him and his band, Thunderfist, playing the Double Down.
Awesome.
I don't know
Very
anything
cool.
about his golf game, so just call him Thunderfist.
Well, if he plays music, his golf game can't be that bad because it's all about rhythm. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Guy's got rhythm, probably.
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 And Dan Hammond from the OC, you know, second fiddle to Schuurman all year, and hopefully he can help the world win the Media Cup. That's all I know about him.
All right. Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully not, because San Francisco, I think, is definitely going to take down the world team. I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. I guarantee a victory in the Media Cup for my team.
All right.
I'm guaranteeing a victory right now. If we don't win, if we don't win, I will. If we don't win, I will let somebody pour water on me while I snow angel a bunker. How about that?
All right. I'm inspired.
And I encourage McKinley to bring it as well. If his team doesn't win, I want him. I will let McKinley actually pour the water on me.
Okay. So,
while I snow angel in a bunker.
Okay.
And if he doesn't win, I hope he'll agree to the same terms.
Yeah.
Because I would love to do that to him. We'll see if we can get that shooken on when we get out to Vegas. Let's also talk about the low IQ.
This is going to unfurl into somehow someone will be pissing on someone in it.
I know, right? I know. I don't know if I like this idea anymore now. Now I'm reconsidering. We'll come up with something good, though. We'll come up with something good for sure.
Okay.
Maybe how about this? How about I will sit down on a putting green, legs spread, and let people putt at my nuts.
That sounds horrible. Let's work on this off the air.
All right, cool. We'll work on this off the air. Fine. I don't know. I kind of like that idea, though. I just want to do these to McKinley, really. I'm just trying to hope that McKinley will agree to these terms so I can do it to him when we clearly are going to take them down.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with a low IQ field because the low IQ is – that's. I mean, the Media Cup is a big deal, but the low IQ has been going on for a while. All these guys who want a chance to win the world championship – this is their last chance to get in. So it's going to be a big deal for these 17 players. Exactly. It's going to be a real big deal for them. So let's talk a little bit about the low IQ field and how that's all going to shake down. And maybe we can pick some favorites, some people that we think are definitely going to get in. And there's some surprising names on here, names I didn't expect to see in the low IQ field. I got to be honest. So right off the bat, you got Rob Skinner. Now, I'm really surprised to see Rob Skinner on this field. He's been around for a long time. He's a great media with a pretty decent game, and he plays in the Seattle chapter, which is a very competitive chapter, but he's done well there in the past. So I'm a little bit surprised to see his name not in that top 10 over there.
Yeah, I think he missed a lot of events this year, and just goes to show that you got to if you want to play for the world title, you got to make the commitment regular season to make enough events to finish top 10.
Yeah, but that also means, though, he fares pretty well in the low IQ field.
Yeah.
Because a good player who probably doesn't deserve to be there should be able to pull into the top 10.
Right.
We've also got Matty Inglesby out of Seattle as well. Another surprise to me. Another guy who he shows up for every tournament, doesn't he?
I think he also missed some this year, but he's
really,
I mean, he's won before. He's another one you gotta believe is going to be pretty much automatic getting through. So that's two spots
Interesting.
Right there.
Okay.
I'm afraid that if we continue on this path, some of these people might not show up once we give our assessment. We're going to have some late cancellations.
Well, let's run through real quick some of these other names here.
Okay.
Alex Fontana, Sean Supple, Rob Christie, Jeff Samuels, Justin Slaughter, Nate Grimsvet, and Clopton, Nessie, Welder, and Novak, all out of the San Francisco chapter.
Yeah.
Now, it makes sense that there's this many in our chapter because we have the most people coming, and we also have probably the most competitive chapter. We generally have the biggest fields, and, you know, and we've been around the longest. So, you know, it stands to reason that we'd have the most guys who didn't make it into our top 10 who are coming out.
Right.
So those guys, I mean, it would be interesting if the San Francisco chapter almost gets a clean sweep going. Let me see how many there are here.
It'd be interesting, but I think I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, with Skinner and Inglesby.
Seven, eight, nine. There are 10. There are 10 of them, so it's possible.
It'd be cool.
Skinner and Inglesby. Yeah, that would be, well, it'd be kind of cool, but it also sucked to see some of these other guys not make it.
It's going to suck. It's like, going to suck regardless seeing some of these guys not make it, but I have cleared it with the course, and they are allowed to come to the course the next day and spectate if they want to.
If they want to. Okay, cool. Now, who is Marcus Stevens? Do you know Marcus Stevens?
No, let's click on his name there. Rings a bell. But,
okay, there's a few names I don't recognize. So Marcus Stevens, Kellen Berry, Eric Trujillo.
You know what? Kellen might be off that list. I think he won the last event in Seattle.
Oh, so he actually might be qualified now. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've also got Eric Trujillo, Kevin Rolls,
Seattle,
and Andy Westby, who may not be coming anymore, right?
No, Westby's in. He's out of the low IQ because he won.
Oh, okay, so now he's qualified. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
These need to be updated slightly before.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things shake down right at the end of the season because everybody plays their tournaments at different times. So, so stands to reason that a lot of things are going to change a little bit.
Yeah. But it's a solid field, and it's going to be – we're going to – make it a little more dramatic this year. No one's going to know their scores until the meet and greet when we reveal everything. It's also going to be a very dramatic reveal, which I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, we won't spoil that today.
You don't want to miss it.
No, you definitely don't want to miss it. There's going to be tears, tears of joy and tears of sorrow. Dreams will be crushed, as well as some dreams will be fulfilled. So it's going to be a very, very interesting field this year. And the biggest field we've ever had for the low IQ as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing who comes out of that. And maybe we'll get that Cinderella story, the guy who qualifies at the low IQ and then goes on to win the whole thing. I mean, it could happen.
Yep.
Let's talk real briefly about the meet and greet, just to kind of, you know, reiterate what's going on there. So we want to make sure everybody understands – you got to get to those buses. We're going to have buses bringing people from the hotel to the location of the meet and greet, which is, of course, the Punk House.
Right.
What time do they need to be on the bus?
It says in the schedule, I think the first bus, we're going to do two trips because we only have one, like, 55-person bus, and we have a million medias. So I think the first one's going to leave at 7:45. Obviously, it's not going to leave until we fill it up, but we're going to try and get it out of there at 7:45, and no driving to the Punk House. I don't think I gave the address anyways, but if you were to be able to find it, don't drive there because there's no parking. It's a residential area.
Yeah, that's right, no parking.
So even if you did drive to Vegas, just drive to the Palace Station and take the bus. It's a short ride, and it's going to be a party on the bus anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be a party on the bus as well. And we'll probably have some music playing. We'll probably have a lot of things going on there as well.
Yeah.
So let's see here. It looks like we're going to start busing people in at 7:30.
That's when people should gather to get on the bus.
Yeah. People should gather around 7:30, get ready to get on that bus. Once we get to the Punk House, we're going to start the media cast promptly at 8:15, and then we'll be going until about 9:50-ish or so, 9:55. And at 10 o'clock, where everyone's bussing back out, and then I recommend go straight to bed. Go right to bed.
No.
Don't even watch TV. Just go right to bed.
No. No, you're forgetting.
No?
Go to Thunderfist.
All right.
Go to Thunderfist.
Go to Thunderfist.
At the double.
But don't actually watch them. Just try to find somewhere in the corner to take a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But this is a good opportunity to say that we don't actually provide transportation to the Double Down, nor do we know where it is at this point. I haven't looked that up yet.
No. But, I've been there before, though. Actually, that's okay. A really cool place.
I think
so,
I have,
yeah.
too, actually.
But, yeah, it's a really cool place, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, everyone should find their way over there and check it out, because I'm going, and it's going to be a rock and roll party.
Yeah, exactly. An MGA, a mediocre rock and roll party. You can't ask for more. The night before the championship, the night before the big dance.
Yep.
You get to do your own big dance to some, I guess, I'm guessing punk rock. Either that or maybe kind of like cock rock, maybe like hair metal. I don't know, something like that. Something awesome like that.
A little more like, yeah, almost AC/DC-ish. Whatever
oh,
I say,
sweet.
It's going to piss them off probably. But no, it's awesome. It really
They're definitely like Rat. They're like exactly like Rat.
a little Nickelback thrown in. I mean,
a little
really,
bit of Nickelback, yeah.
Really good stuff. Like, you know, you hear it on pop radio.
But you know, all the songs are about Jesus, so it's kind of like Creed in that way. a lot of songs about how they had a baby and it changed their life, stuff like that.
Yeah, with a little bit of. Third Eye Blind thrown in.
A little bit, just a tiny bit. Like Third Eye Cataracts, like Third Eye, you know, like Third Eye, you know, Nearsighted, something like that.
Yeah.
Just a taste of it. So a lot of stuff going on at the MJWCs. It's going to be 2 days of nonstop golfing action. Legendary stuff is going to happen. Legends will be born. Legends will be crushed. Beer is going to be drinking. People are going to do things that they're going to regret. It's going to be amazing. Yep. Really looking forward to this year's tournament. And the turnout's amazing already. I mean, the fact that we have this many people coming out this year, it's just going to make for the most epic MJWCs we've ever seen. So everybody yep. who's coming, be really excited. It's time to get excited. I'm getting excited. I'm already like thinking about nothing else but this. So
yep.
really looking forward to it. Is there anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
No, I think we've covered it. I mean, I sent out the reminder for the pre-event or the pre-event mailer. I sent it out, obviously, through snail mail. If that didn't show up, I just sent it out not too long ago through email. So if you're going and you haven't received either of these, then you should probably contact us through the contact form on the site, and we'll make sure you have all the necessary information. But make sure to bring your schedules, guys, because those bus schedules, we don't wait for people.
No. We're taking off, and
yeah,
you don't want to miss out.
That, and, you know, I know there's going to be a few late nights out there, but you got to make the bus or else you're finding your own way out there.
Exactly. And trust me on this. I've seen it happen. You're going to wake up with like 5 minutes to get there. And, you know, it's like, just try to not let that be you. You know what I mean? That someone's going to come down there and just be haggard as all hell. And just try not to let that be you, because you don't want to miss out on any of the good times. All right, let's move on and let's talk some golf tips and everything. And this is, of course, the segment Ask Man Landers.
What should I do?
Ask Man Landers.
So, of course, Ask Man Landers is where we answer reader mail, specifically about golf and how to be better at it, because who knows better how to get good at golf than the guys who started the Mediocre Golf Association, right? I mean, that's why we started it, just to get better. We don't really, I mean, we talk a big game about being mediocre and all that stuff. We really want to make the PGA, right? I mean,
sure.
Deep down inside.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I can see that
happen. we got some tips for helping you get better. But first we're going to answer some questions from you guys. So I got a first question here from Birdie Thies out of Stuart, Florida, who asks, can losing weight affect my golf swing distance? John, what do you think? You're a skinny guy. I mean, do you think that that the fact that you're, you know, so slight of build helps you with your golf swing and your distance?
Based on the actual distance that my ball goes, I don't think it does.
Yeah. Okay.
Because my weight doesn't sway a whole lot. It sticks between, you know, about, I'm 6'4", and I'm always right between 132 and 134 pounds. Okay. And coincidentally, that's how far I hit my driver.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's...
All right.
I don't know if there's an inverse relationship. Like if I managed to get down to 99 pounds, would I actually increase my driving distance? I don't know.
Yeah, because you would lower wind resistance, thus increasing torque. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. There's an inverse relationship between wind resistance and torque, right? I took some physics classes one time. There's something about arms swinging and, A plus B equals C, something like that. And I'm sure that has something to do with that, what you're saying.
Yeah absolutely. I'm skipping dinner tonight.
Well, I'm going to actually recommend going the other way. Okay. I'm going to say try to become as big and fat as you can. Try to just put weight on because everybody knows more mass equals more power. Much like Mac has done this year on Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he's put on a lot of mass, which has helped him immensely become better at, karate and kung fu. In the same way, I mean, look at the best golfer in the world. The best golfer in the world is John Daly, right? So fat equals distance.
He was when he was fat. Now he's skinny.
Exactly, yeah. And then what happened? He lost some weight, got lighter in the pockets too. Remember that? He got lighter in the pockets and suddenly he started to suck.
Yeah.
So, don't like what you should do is you should not only put on a lot of weight, but you should carry a lot of things in your pockets as well. I'm going to recommend maybe bars of gold, just kind of line your pockets full of just carry all the bottles of water instead of putting them in your bag. Like, put them into your pockets on your jacket. Just put as much weight as you can on yourself because it's only going to add to your distance and help your golf swing.
Yeah, I think...
So I hope that helped out Birdie Thies.
I think your theory has legs here because, once Tiger lost all that extra weight of a wife and two kids, his game has gone to hell.
Exactly. And all the stress of having to constantly, keep his multiple indiscretions secret,
Yeah.
Suddenly all that weight lifted off his shoulders.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then he couldn't swing the golf club anymore. So, I think it's pretty obvious. More weight equals better golf. All right, so let's talk about this one. How much time, this is from Tim Fram, how much time can a player take to line up his ball and then make a putting stroke? We have a player in our group who likes to look at his putt from 50 different angles, and it seems like he takes 5 minutes before he putts the ball. It is very frustrating. So, John, you've actually changed your putting stroke to be even quicker than it used to be. Is there a time limit on the amount of time someone could take to line up a putt?
I don't know if there actually is a rule. There probably is. I mean, eventually they go on the clock if the group is too slow.
Well, there's the rule about not playing too slow, but it's not necessarily like a hard and fast rule. Like, there's not like a 10 minutes per hole thing. It's just if your pace of play becomes too slow, they put you on the clock, and then you can take penalty strokes.
Right.
So I don't think there's anything specific about putting or not, but it is really annoying when somebody takes way too long to do anything on a golf course.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm going to go for the serious answer here, where it depends if he's a good putter or not. Because you, straight Willie Dills, take a while to line up your putts now, but you make a good portion of them. So instead of lining up slowly and taking two putts, you take a while to line up and make it a one putt, thus saving time. So I'm cool with you taking your time. Now, if it's someone who sucks at putting and they take all this time and they miss every single time, then it's like, get over it. Get quicker.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, though, that there's... So the reasoning behind me I just kind of have now a pre-stroke routine, and if I don't do it, it feels weird. You know what I mean? So, but my routine is basically to line up the little line on the ball, look at it from a little bit back, and just kind of judge. I don't often actually go up and change the line. Like, if the line is wrong, I just kind of remember how much I think it's wrong, and then when I step over the ball, I kind of make that adjustment based on that. But then I always have to take two practice strokes. And if I don't take two, or if I take one or three or something like that, everything feels weird.
Yeah.
So at this point, I just take two every time and I know that that's what it's supposed to be. So if I do that every time, then I've kind of done my due diligence or whatever. So sometimes it works. Those days I still have really bad putting scores, but I agree with that. Like, I think if you suck at putting, you know, there's no real point in grinding over every putt. You know, but if it's an important tournament or something like that, or an important putt, I really don't fault anybody for taking their time over a putt.
Yeah.
Especially if it's actually helping you. There are some people out there who do a lot of things where I think that can't be helping you.
No.
Like the thing where you hold the putter up and you let it dangle.
Yeah.
Like, does that help anybody actually? I mean, you're supposed to like see the grain or something like that, right? I've done it before and I can't see shit.
Maybe you need glasses.
I don't know. It just doesn't.
Maybe you need grain glasses.
Yeah, maybe I need grain glasses. Maybe I got third eye cataracts. I don't know. It could be.
We should make those
grain glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Sell them right under the golf ball finder glasses that don't work for shit.
Yeah, exactly. Or the X-ray glasses. We'll have those on X-ray specs. We should just have it just like as soon as you put them on, it's just got arrows pointing to the left. Like, so no matter what, you're like, oh man, the grain is going left here.
It's just a compass inside.
So yeah, just a compass. It just points north. But there's no real hard and fast rule to this. But I'll encourage all the MGAers out there. The tournaments take long enough anyway because everybody's grinding a little bit more than usual. So I encourage everybody, try not to do anything that you don't need to do. You know what I mean? And play ready golf, too. If you don't take a long time to get to the green, then it's not that annoying once you get there if you take your time on the putting.
Yeah. And if you are a bad putter and you take a long time to line up your putts, try going faster because it's helped my putting immensely. Just trusting my first instinct and getting up there and hitting it, I'm putting much better than I was when I took a long time. So,
yeah, it's very true. I've noticed that you've kind of gone to a walk up and hit kind of thing.
Yeah,
a la like Phil Mickelson was doing that for a while too. Just kind of walk up and hit it, and I've noticed you started making some real long ones. So
yeah,
it seemed to work for
you. Getting better.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about some tips from the medios. And now tips from the medios.
Fuck. 9.
So tips from the medios is where, of course, we don't answer any questions. We just dole out some information. And we're pretty sure it's information that you're going to find helpful. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about how to prepare for the MGA World Championship the night before. We've seen this in the past. People come out to Vegas. They get a little over-exuberant, a little bit excited. And maybe they go a little too hard. But we've also seen maybe people don't go hard enough. And they end up actually losing out on an opportunity to improve their game the next day with the right amount of hangover, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a fine balance. So John, do you have anything that you like to do the night before the big tournament to try to like make sure you're ready to go?
I usually am pretty stressed at that point, but I've been able to observe some other people and really seeing what works and what doesn't. And like you alluded to, you need to know exactly how much hangover is the right amount for you as a person. And then play to that level. I mean, the night before is a competition. You need to, whoever nails it the best, like finds that perfect amount of alcohol and sleep deprivation that gives them the perfect condition to play the next day will win the next day. So
yeah.
Really,
I mean, let's talk about Todd the first year. I mean, Todd the first year went really hard, mm-hmm. but not as hard as the second year.
Not,
you know,
even
what I mean?
Close to as hard as the
And if you'll notice, he won the first year.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, he was a little bit haggard the day of the tournament, but he was there on time, and you know, he woke up under his own volition. The second year, he had to get woken up, and he barely made it down to the bus. And then he didn't, you know, then he played poorly.
He didn't even make the money, I don't think, which is just unheard of.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, just an awful round of golf for him. But John James that year did go out the night before to play some craps, and I believe from the stories I heard, they stayed out pretty late. But it sounded like the night was more about the gambling and less about the drinking. So while they were drinking, they didn't get to that point where then they weren't able to go to sleep. You know what I mean? So I remember him coming in pretty late, but he was still able to kind of keep it together enough for the next day.
I'm not sure Todd ever got to that point of going to sleep either that night.
Yeah. I think he actually just didn't go to sleep is what happened. Yeah.
The belt disappeared around 3 a.m. We had to find it in the morning of the championship. We weren't sure where it was. We made some quick repairs, and now I have it in my possession now, and I'm going to keep it that way until we hand it out this year.
That's a good idea, I think. You know, as much as it's fun to have the guy wear it the night before, if we lose it before the tournament, there's pretty much nothing worse that could happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a couple other quick tips here. Now, the night before, definitely go out, try to find that correct balance. It's probably a good idea to kind of get yourself prepped in the weeks coming. So maybe try going out until like 1:30. It's too late now if you haven't started already. But if you're a savvy medio, you've probably been practicing for the entire year. So I'd say is start trying by going out until maybe about 1 a.m. And then try like 1:30 the next night. And then 2 o'clock. And then see if you can stay up till like 4. You know, see if you can like continue drinking shots of Jameson all the way up until the moment you fall asleep. And then try to wake up and do something incredibly hard and pressure-packed the very next day. So maybe like wake up and try to walk a tightrope or something. Or maybe like wake up and try to rob a bank. Like something that's going to like make you feel the pressure of an MGA tournament. And that way, you'll be able to know, is this the right amount? Could I handle it well? Did I get away, or did the cops shoot me? Like, you kind of know before you get there what that right amount is for you. I also definitely recommend you got to jerk off at least once the day before. You don't want to be backed up. And now, if you're with a lady, that's even better. Have her jerk you off. You know, that's all fine, too. And then always pre-tourney D. Pre-tourney D, okay? And try to do it at the hotel. We don't want to clog up the course's bathrooms, okay? All right.
Now,
I think I've dispensed some vital information.
Yeah. Oh, you've dispensed. Now, what we haven't factored into this equation, you know, we've been talking about sleeping or not sleeping or just getting that schedule right. What about these two outsiders coming from the Southern Hemisphere? I'm pretty certain the other side of the world has a different time zone. I don't know that for a fact, but
probably. But it seems like that might not be true. It feels like it's true.
I don't know for sure. Yeah,
yeah.
But this could play into their hands in one way or another. I don't know.
It could. I mean, they might be at the exact right amount of tiredness, like before anything happens. You know.
Yeah.
Like they might just show up in full prep mode and just be ready to rock. So I don't know. I mean, I guess time will tell because this is the first time this has ever happened. This is the first time we've ever had people come from the other side of the planet, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And if they play well, I mean, if one of these guys takes it down next year, my advice might be travel to Australia the day before the tournament and then fly to Vegas from there. And make sure that you're, or how about go live in Australia for about 6 months and then fly straight from there, you know, like that might be the way to go. Cause I mean, that's probably worth it, you know?
Yep.
You're talking about MGA world champions. Like this only comes around once a year, maybe once in a lifetime for a lot of people. So, all right. So a lot of good advice and we'll see who's able to actually heed that advice when we get out to Vegas. Let's briefly talk about that other golf association.
So let me get this straight. You could play golf and get paid.
You see, I golf also. You should bring me sometime.
So the other golf association, we all know, they call themselves the PGA. They play some sort of hybrid crap golf that involves actually putting the ball in the hole in very few amounts of strokes. It's pretty boring. We don't really care too much about it, but since they're playing in our backyard right now, at least the old guys, the senior tour, we should talk a little bit about the Charles Schwab Cup. Now, I just love watching people play Harding Park Golf Course because, you know, we've played there a bunch of times, so it's always fun to watch these guys play. I'm really excited to see the seniors play it, though, because these guys are a little closer to what is more realistic for me, although they're still ridiculously good and ridiculously good putters. But right now, it looks like Jay Haas is in the lead. And I'm kind of surprised. I'm looking for either Lehman or maybe Calcavecchia or
Couples
has to be playing. He's got to be playing. So I'm looking for one of those guys to pull it together. Haas is a good player though, so you know we'll see if he holds it together. You got any favorites on the Champions Tour?
Couples, and then that's it. Fred Couples.
All right.
I think
that does it.
You know what?
What's up?
I think Kenny Perry's playing on that tour now, and that guy's awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah, Kenny Perry's cool.
Yeah, he's just like, I go back to when he suddenly got good on the PGA Tour, and he was just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not doing anything different. I'm just winning now. Winning.
Yeah, now I'm just winning.
Yeah.
So actually, it looks like Fred Couples is tied for first place with Jay Haas. At 3-under, which is 21-munder for all you medios out there.
Wow, that's impressive.
21-munder. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Although that wouldn't win on the MJ Tour, and that's why our tour is better. I mean, we just disqualify you. Let me see if anybody didn't get disqualified. Nope, every single member got disqualified. So unfortunately, it doesn't look like anyone's going to win the Charles Schwab Cup. All right, so that does it for that other golf association. It's probably spent too much time on that, really. I mean, it's totally boring. Let's move on to the Medio Spotlight.
All of the lights. All of the lights on one Medio will discuss his kind of all right accomplishments in this week's Medio Spotlight.
I'm excited about the Medio Spotlight this time, John. We're going to talk about one of those guys who's coming from across the entire planet to come play in Vegas next week. And, of course, we're spotlighting this Medio cast, Luke McBride, who's coming from the Perth chapter. Do you know anything about this guy?
I do. I know that he has King Kent Jameson in his Facebook profile picture, which makes him A-OK by my book. He's the chapter leader down there. And, just hugely enthusiastic and so excited to be coming to the World Championships that, I mean, if this guy doesn't get treated like royalty out there by the MGAers, then it's going to be a sad, sad day if I ever see him pay for one of his own drinks.
Yeah, seriously.
All I'm saying.
I mean, coming from all the way across the friggin' planet to come over here.
No other reason to come to the U.S. than the NGA World Championships. So,
and that's the coolest thing I've ever heard of. I got to be honest. When we started playing golf in 2006 and calling it a tournament, I don't know if I ever expected that we would reach down under.
Yeah.
with our lame jokes and our weird take on what golf should be.
Right.
Pretty fantastic. Nicknamed the Dog Walker. Sounds like he's kind of a big guy, 6'2", 245.
Yeah, I don't know where that nickname came from, but we'll get that story out in Vegas. But
maybe he works as a dog walker.
Could be, although...
Yeah?
I don't know. But,
He's always like dating really ugly girls and,
he's married. So
they call him the dog walker.
Sure, he's beautiful. But,
I like his profile though. He's got in the bag pretty much the cream of the Kmart crop plus Havana Club Reserva, Charlie, mood stabilizers, and a Nerf gun.
Nice.
Which clearly, I mean, the guy's ready for anything that could happen.
Yeah.
You know.
And the guy runs what looks like an amazing chapter down there. He's one of the NoFX chapters for sure. I mean, I think that's where he got his picture with Kent, maybe when the Guineas were down there or something. But very enthusiastic. Can't wait to meet the guy. Can't wait to party. And
yeah, absolutely. And I love his handicap too. 45.6. That is quality right there.
Isn't it?
Yeah, quality handicap. Really looking forward to see what he does out in this American air. I mean, I have a feeling these scores are only because they're playing upside down over there, and it's got to be hard to make putts when the ball is constantly falling upwards. They got to play with those, you know, magnetic balls that hold. You know, it's just all weird. So We'll see what he does when he actually plays on, you know, regular earth.
Yeah.
Because one of his scores here actually on, let's see, this was July of this year. He shot a 138. For a handicap differential of 66. But he says here, crap, but a little less crap than the previous game. So I'm wondering what he shot before that. And then he shot a 137 at Rose Hill Country Club and wrote, lovely course, I kind of suck.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So we'll see how he does. But qualified, you know, qualified for the championship. So
absolutely.
So who... Yeah, he'll get in there, and then he'll mix it up with the best of us.
Best they got.
All right, well, I think that does it for the media cast. Do you have anything else to add before we say goodbye?
No, I can't wait. I'm going to be busy up until about a day or two before, and just can't wait to get out there and make this happen. We're going to have a hell of a time.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the year where I mean, the championships have been fun the first 2 years, but I feel like we're really kind of coming into our own here. And now that we've done it a couple times, it's kind of feeling like, you know, like a little bit more of a real thing where we know what's going to happen. We know what to expect. It's not kind of flying by the seat of our pants anymore.
Exactly.
There's some tradition now behind it. So, you know, we can add things in like the Medio Cup. We can add the Chapters Cup. You know, because we know what to expect already, and so now we know, like, what we can do and can't do.
Right.
And it's just only going to get better every single year. So
yeah.
This is going to be a fantastic tournament.
You know, with a lot of the same Seattle guys coming, it's almost a relief. Like, I don't have to worry about the other chapters getting it, because if somehow we don't convey it the right way, Seattle's going to take care of it. They're going to let the guys know what's up.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's fully established what to expect when you get to Vegas, and you can expect nothing but good times and bad decisions, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all of them and being a part of all of them. So, can't wait to meet everybody who I haven't met before. I'll see all of you in one week's time, in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the 2011 Mediocre Golf World Championships. All right. Thanks, John, for joining me on MedioCast number 26, and we'll see you guys there.
Hell yeah.